Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So last time we spoke about Khabbab ibn Arat radiallahu an, and we talked about details of the torture and the persecution that he was going through and at the hands of the kuffar of Makkah. And we spoke before that about other sahaba and different types of torture and torment they were going through, and before that was the torment that the Prophet himself was facing. Now, one of the things that happened during that time when the Sahaba were being tortured and tormented was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission for the Muslims that were able to make hijrah to Abyssinia, to Habasha. Okay? So Abyssinia is from Habasha, the Arabic word is Habasha, and at that time, modern day Ethiopia, basically. So at that time, Rasulullah gave permission to the Sahaba that were able to make hijrah, and this is actually the first hijrah, not the hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. This is actually the first hijrah to Abyssinia, to Habasha, where this occurred in about the fifth year after the revelation started. So about 7 years before the Prophet ﷺ made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. So this is actually the first hijrah in Islam. So Rasulullah ﷺ sent a group of Muslims, and again, it was only those who were able to escape from their families and get away from Mecca. And in the beginning, it was actually a small number. They say about 12 men and 8 women, so about a group of 20 people total. And then later on, as more Muslims joined, it became over 100, so about 80 some men and about 20 some women, and it became over 100 in Abyssinia or Habasha. Now, one of the things because this is something before Hijrah, this is before there was a large number of Muslims at that. There weren't that many Muslims at that time, so excuse me. So we don't have that many rawayat, that many hadith on this subject. But there is one famous hadith from Salama radiallahu anha, who later on became the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was one of those early migrants to Habasha. So Salama, along with her husband Abu Salama, they were one of the first to make hijrah to Abyssinia, along with Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these people, around 20 in number, they escaped the persecution of Mecca and they escaped to Abyssinia. And one of the things that when they got there, Salama radiallahu anha, she's the one narrating. There's a really lengthy hadith related by Ibn Ishaq in his book, his Sirah book, regarding this. And she says, "Lamma nazalna arda Habasha." So when we went to the land of Habasha, جَاوَرْنَا بِهَا خَيْرَ جَارٍ نَجَاشِي. She said that we became neighbors, or basically we joined this community and the best of community, which is of Najashi, and the best of neighbors, which was Najashi. أَمِنَّا عَلَى دِينِنَا وَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهِ لَا نُؤْذَى وَلَا نَسْمَعْ شَيْئًا نَكْرَى. That we worshipped Allah as we pleased, meaning with freedom. We had the freedom of religion in the land of Habasha, and we were safe and secure. We didn't have anybody torturing us or anything like that, and we never even heard anything that we disliked, not even a word from anyone regarding our deen or anything like that, let alone being tortured and whatnot that was going on in Makkah Mukarramah. So as I said, it was around the fifth year after the start of revelation, and these Muslims, they arrived in Habasha, but soon thereafter, the kuffar of Mecca, they heard of these Muslims that secretly escaped. So they sent two men, and these two men is Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'a ibn Mughira al-Makhzumi, and the second was Amr ibn As ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi. And if you guys remember, we talked about al-As ibn Wa'il. We talked about him last week. Anyway, remember what was the story behind him? Al-As ibn Wa'il, and something was between him and Khabbab ibn Arad radiallahu anhu. Something to do with the swords. No, don't remember?
Wait. So he owed him money for him selling his swords, right?
Yes, barakallahu
feek. Okay, that's all I remember, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good enough, inshallah. So basically, Khabbab radhiyallahu anhu had made some swords for Al-As ibn Wa'il. He owed him money, and he kept on asking him for the payment. And then one day he said, I will not pay you until you disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he responded by saying, I will not disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until you are killed in front of me, basically, and you resurrected right in front of me. So basically something that's not going to happen. And Al-As starts joking with him, mocking him, and saying that, will we be resurrected after we become dust? After we are dead, are we going to be resurrected again? He says, okay, if that's true, then you know, on that day, I'll have the money for you, and I'll pay you the money on that time, on that day. So that was the Al-As ibn Wa'il. His son, Amr ibn As, he actually was one of those two sent to after these Muslims to bring them back in chains. And Amr ibn As actually became a Sahabi later on. He became one of the Sahaba later on. So these two were tasked to bring back the Muslims in chains. And what they did was they gathered, they knew that Najashi loved, the people of Habasha, they loved leather. So they gathered all types of leather and, you know, whatever the best they could find. And they got together and they set out to Habasha. And when they got to Abyssinia, they started meeting with the generals and the viziers of Najashi. So they start meeting with the generals and these people, advisors, and giving them, basically they're giving rishwa. They're bribing them by giving them these gifts. And they give them these leather and other, you know, gifts from Mecca. And as they're doing that, they're telling them that tomorrow when we seek presence with the king, then you speak to the king also, tell them that we have a group of people from Ghilman. There's just some, basically they're trying to, you know, downplay it. They're saying that these random people from Mecca, they're, some of them are slaves and they ran away from Mecca. And we just want to bring them back. We just want to, you know, tie them up and we'll be on our way. So if you can talk to the king and, you know, let him know that this is what the matter is, and just let us, you know, be on our way with these slaves. So as they're doing that, they go ahead and they get, you know, all the generals to do that. Now Najashi, when he sits down in his on his throne and he's sitting with his people, his generals and his advisors start advising him, say that these people have come to meet you, and the reason is because they have some slaves that run away and they just want to take them back. So Najashi, he looks towards them and he becomes upset. He says that I will not give up anyone who sought refuge in my country until I hear them out first. So I'm not going to just give them up, like, you know, you brought leather, you think you can just, you know, bribe me. I'm not going to take any bribe. I'm going to hear them out. I'm going to listen to what they say, have to say. After that, if it's true what you have to say, that there are slaves and they ran away, I'll give them back to you. You can take them back. If it's not true, then, you know, it's going to be some other matter. So he says this, and the Muslims are called forth to come in the presence of the King Najashi. Now, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anh, he's the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the brother of Ali, radiallahu anh. Okay, and Ja'far, radiallahu anh, he is the one to speak. He becomes the speaker of the Muslims on behalf of the Muslims, responding to Najashi. And Najashi, he actually asks him, he says, "Ma hadha ad-din alladhi faraqtum fihi qawmakum?" Now what is this deen, this new religion that you guys are following, and you have left the deen of your people, and you know, you're not even entering into my deen, you're not even Christian, you're coming here asking for refuge, you have left the religion of your forefathers and your fellow tribesmen, and you're not even entering into Christianity, so what is this new deen that you have come up with, and what is this you are following? So he asked him this question, and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib did not have... He starts off by talking about the corruptness and the society of Mecca. He said that we were a people, he said that, Ayyuhal Malik, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya, that we were ignorant people. Na'budul Aslam, we used to worship the idols. Wa na'kulul mayta, we would eat the carrion, meaning dead meat. Animals that would fall dead without zabiha, We'd go and take them, and even though it's a desert and they're, you know, roasting in the hot desert, we take their meat and we'd eat that meat. وَنَأْتِي الْفَوَاحِشِ We do all kinds of sins. وَنَقْتَعُ الْأَرْحَامِ We would cut our severed ties with our kinship, with our our family, with our cousins, with our brothers and sisters. We'd cut ties with them. نُوَسِيُّ الْجِوَارِ وَيَاكُ الْقَوِي مِنَّ الْضَعِيفِ That the one who was strong would go and eat, and we would destroy the one who was weak. So basically, might is right. Whoever was strong, they would do whatever they wish. So he kept on, you know, talking about these things. He's ya'uddu. He started counting the different things that were going wrong in the society. And then he said, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us with this Quran, with this new message, with this deen, and he taught us not to cut our ties with relatives, not to do zulm on the weak, not to do all these different sins and whatnot that we were doing. So basically, he taught us the right way of living. So he's talking about, and then Najashi asked him that, "What do you have? Do you have any of this deen? Can you show me what do you have to say? What does this deen teach you?" So Jafar Radhan starts to read Surah Maryam. I believe it was 19 to 32 or 19 to 52, 19 to 32, I think it was, those ayat. He read those ayat in front of Najashi, and in the riwayah it comes that as soon as he started reading it, فَبَكَى وَاللَّهِ النَّجَاشِ So Salama radhiallahu anha, the one who's narrating the hadith, she says that, "I swear by Allah, Najashi started crying. حَتَّى أَخْضَلَ لِحْيَتَ Until his whole beard was wet with tears. وَبَكَتْ سَاقِفَتُهُ حَتَّى أَخْضَلُوا مَصَاحِفَهُمْ So one of the things that before, when they started the meeting, his advisors and those scholars of Christianity, they came up with their books and their scriptures, and they put them up in front of, maybe on a table or whatever, just to, so in case these people argue with us or whatever, I guess they want to look in their books to see what these people have to say. So they said that until their tears fell on the books and started making those books wet. So they did this, and Najashi says, "Inna hadha wallah." He says that, "Verily this, I swear by Allah, this, what you have come with, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِهِ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ السَّلَامُ لَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ مِشْكَاتٍ وَاحِدًا He said that this, what you have come, this message that you are bringing, and what Musa عليه السلام, remember he was Christian, so he believes in Musa عليه السلام. He says that what Musa عليه السلام came with, they have come from the same, basically from the same light. They came from the same lantern, you could say. Misbah is a lantern, and then Mishka is the niche, I think you could say niche, or the thing that you keep the lantern in. So basically they've come from the same niche. So he says that, "In taliqa wa fawallahi la uslimuhum ilaykum abada wa la akad." So then Najashi says to those two people of Makkah, that you guys go ahead, leave this place. I swear by Allah, I will not give these people up to you. So Najashi at that moment says to them, and you can imagine the joy that the Muslims are feeling at this moment, that we are here to stay. He's allowing us to stay in his country and freely, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Islam orders us to do. Now, Amr ibn As was really upset at this whole outcome. And when he leaves the meeting, he says to the other man, he says to him that, basically, I'm going to come back to Najashi. Tomorrow you're going to see what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring up another issue, and we're going to definitely take him back. And the other man says to him that, just leave it alone. I mean, they're here now, and they're from our family. A lot of them are relatives of us. They're our relatives. So just, let them be. He says, no, I'm not going to just lose like this. I'm not going to let them go like this. So he actually goes back the next day, and he says to the people and to Najashi and to the... remember, he was good friends with Najashi. He would travel and stuff. So he says to Najashi that these people, ask them what they say about Isa alayhi salam. That they say that he is just an abd. He is just a slave of Allah. He is not the son of Allah, son of God. So Najashi, hearing this, he becomes upset and furious, and he calls him back for a second meeting. Now the Muslims who just won a battle the previous day, they're getting concerned now that he's calling us back. What's going on? What are we going to say? And when they come back, Najashi asked them that, what do you say about Isa alayhi salam? What do you have to say about him? And then Ja'far radhiallahu anhu responds again by saying, we only say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And he starts to relate the ayat about Isa alayhi salam. And he says that basically he is an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as he hears this, again Najashi, he says, okay, you are free to go to stay in my country. And he says to the anybody who swears at you, then verily they have committed an evil and they have committed something against Allah, and you know, basically you're under my protection. So he keeps them there and they stay there, those two men, Amr ibn As, and they actually have to go back. They leave to Makkah empty-handed. Now, one of the things about Umm Salama radhiallahu anha, she says, we stayed in Abyssinia for quite a while, and they stayed there under the protection of Najashi, freedom of religion, practicing Islam freely. And they said that until one day a man came who challenged Najashi's kingship. So he challenged Najashi's right to kingship, and he basically he brings an army, and these two armies meet at the river of Nile, the Nile River. They go and meet at the Nile River, and as soon as they meet, they ask, the Muslims are worried now, because what if someone else comes over, takes over, and then he expels us back to Makkah, or he starts to torture us, or you know, whatever. So they start talking to each other, what are we going to do? Who's going to go and find out about the information and go see what's going on in the battle and who's winning or what's going on? And Zubair ibn Awam radhan, one of the young people of that time, the Sahaba of that time, he says, I will go. And they say that, I'm not sure what it's called in Arabic, but they got, you know, like a tube, you could say, like a water skin, and they filled it with air, and they actually, so, I mean, it could be the first time anybody used a tube. Okay, you know these things we use in the pools when you go swimming and stuff. So he actually took one of those, he floated on it and swam down the Nile until he got to that place. He watched and he saw that Najashi's army defeated the other army, and he came back and he gave the glad news to the Muslims, and they were so happy that day that the Najashi had won and he had kept his kingship. Now, one of the things about Najashi is that that wasn't his name. That's actually a title. So we know that we had different titles, like Tubba, we talked about way in the beginning of Sirah, we talked about King of Yemen, Tubba. And then we talked about Fir'aun. I mean, I just gave the names, but Fir'aun is from the Egyptians, the king of the Egyptians. And then you have the Kisra is from Persia. Okay, so you have different titles. So Najashi is a title of the kings of Habasha. And his name, they say his name was Amra, and he was, Arma. And they say that he ruled from the year 614 to 631. So about almost 17 years. And after Hudaybiyah, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Najashi, you know, even though he accepted Islam as being the same message, he did not become Muslim at that time. Now, after Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sent out letters to the neighboring, you know, kingdoms. And one of the letters was sent through Amr ibn Umayyah al-Dhimri. He sent him to Najashi with a letter. And Najashi actually took this letter. He put it to his eyes, like out of respect and honor of the Prophet. And then he got off his throne. So he got off his throne, he sat on the ground, and he read the letter of the Prophet, out of respect of the Prophet. So he does this, and after reading this da'wah from the Prophet, he becomes Muslim. So he becomes Muslim, and actually he had to keep his Islam private, he had to keep it secret, because the people, when he tried to test them with it, he talked to them, and they started, it was uproar, that how could you talk about Islam becoming Muslim? And he says, okay, I was just, you know, I'm just testing you. And he basically, he kept his Islam secret, as opposed to the Roman ruler who, Heraclius, who he also had the same issue, where there was a loud uproar. But then to keep his kingdom, he remained a non-Muslim. Anyway, so this Najashi becomes Muslim. He secretly worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stays Muslim. And later on, the Muslims, after the Battle of Khaybar, when the Muslims took over, this is way after Hijrah of Medina to Medina, and then Khaybar, the Battle of Khaybar, that's when the Muslims, the remainder of the Muslims, whoever was left in Habasha, they actually moved to Medina Munawwara after that, years later. There was a second Hijrah in between to Abyssinia, so we'll talk about that inshallah when the time comes, when the Muslims actually went back from Habasha. So all the Muslims, they got news that the people of Makkah had become Muslim, so they moved back to Makkah, only to find out it was just a rumor, it wasn't true. So some of them remained, and some of them went back to Habasha. Now those people who went back to Habasha for the second Hijrah, those are the ones who came after Khaybar, they went to Medina, they made a third Hijrah to Medina Munawwara. One of the things about Najashi is that when he died, when he passed away, Rasulullah was in Medina Munawwara at that time, and because Najashi, there was no one other than him, no other Muslim in the kingdom of Habasha at that time, because all the Muslims had left. Rasulullah did Salat al-Janazah anil ghayb for Najashi. So he prayed Janazah Salah in Medina Munawwara for Najashi, who died in Abyssinia, was buried in Abyssinia. So inshallah we'll stop there and we'll continue on with the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and most likely we're going to talk about the conversion to Islam of Umar ibn Khattab next week, inshallah.
So Najashi, he was the king of Ethiopia as well?
Ethiopia was, that's the same area, Abyssinia. It was called Abyssinia at that time.
So was Najashi African?
Yes, yes, yeah. So he's a Christian, African Christian.